Iman Rush Audio presents When Wolves Become Shepherds by Muhammad al-Sharif.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu subhanahu wa nasta'inu wa nasta'gfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina man yahdihillahu ta'ala fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. On a dark night, this is in the 13th year after the Prophet ﷺ had received the message of Islam, the mushrikeen, they gathered in Darun Nadwa. Actually, the leaders of them, of Quraysh, they gathered. And as they were about to close the door, an old man came and he requested permission to join the gathering, to join the halaqah. And so they allowed him to join. And that last man who had entered with them was Iblis. And as they gathered around, they were discussing a most evil plot. And that was what to do with the Prophet ﷺ. And so the first man said, "Let us jail him. Put him in chains. Never let him see the light of day again." And so Iblis said in reply, "Wallahi ma hadha bi ra'i. By Allah, this is not a correct opinion." He said, because if you jail him, then his news of his jailing will go out to everyone and the message will spread. And so they thought. And then the second man said to them, "Why don't we expel him from this land?" And so Iblis said to them, "Wallahi ma hadha bi ra'i. By Allah, this is not an opinion. This is not a correct opinion, because if you expel him, he will get stronger and then he will come back and take you over." And so they sat quietly until Shaqiyuhum said, "Why don't we kill him?" But not just any Arab killing him. We gather one person from every tribe to join in the murder of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Iblis said, "That's the correct opinion." And Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And actually, you might have heard from the seerah that it was a few days later. It wasn't. It was that exact day they had plotted to murder the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Bukhari and Muslim, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yaqul, "Baynama ra'in fi ghanamihi 'ada 'alayhi adh-dhi'bu, fa'akhadha minha shatun fatalabahu ar-ra'i, faltafata adh-dhi'b, faqala, ma laha yawm as-sab'i, yawma la laysa laha, yawma laysa laha ra'un, ra'in ghayri." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that a shepherd was out with his sheep one day when a wolf came and attacked one of the sheep. And so he grabbed and mangled the sheep and ran away with it. And as the wolf was running away, the shepherd ran after the sheep. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. And so the shepherd chasing the wolf then turned and spoke to the shepherd. And the wolf said, "If today you're protecting the sheep, then who will protect this sheep on the day of savagery, when there will be no shepherd for this sheep to protect it except me?" Meaning the day the wolf becomes the shepherd, who will protect the sheep? And as one of the poets said, وَرَاعِ الشَّاتِ يَحْمِ الذِّئْبُ عَنْهَا فَكَيْفَ إِذَا الرَّعَاتُ لَهَا الذِّئَابُ. He says, this poet, he said, وَرَاعِ الشَّاتِ, the shepherd of the sheep, the flock, his job is to protect the sheep. And there's no protector except the shepherd. Then what will happen on the day when the wolf becomes the shepherd? And you can just imagine the annihilation and destruction that will happen to that sheep. And so the title for this lecture, and it's a very amazing title, very provocative and makes you think, the title of this lecture is When Wolves Become Shepherds. When Wolves Become Shepherds. And inshallah ta'ala, I know, as the brother said, we might have question and answer. But actually this topic is very long. So bear with me inshallah. I promise you, inshallah, that you're going to love this lecture. I'm very excited about this lecture, and bi-idhnillah, nobody's going to cut me off. But this is my first time in Dallas, so I don't know if you guys are going to cut me off or not. But you will cut me off? Yeah, I have a black belt though. So you cut me off and get ready. Who is Shaitan? I thought about this. Who is Iblis? You know, and I thought of an interesting way to explain a little bit about who Iblis is. So I imagined, what if Iblis, you know how some people, they waste their life watching late night, what are those things called? Interviews? Late night talk shows. They watch late night talk shows. One of the famous late night talk shows is Jay Leno. And so what if Jay Leno's celebrity guest for tonight was Iblis? This is something, I'm going to give you a little glimpse of how the interview would go. That's right. So he says, ladies and gentlemen, Iblis. So Leno says to him, Leno, what's your name? Iblis. Despair. Do you have a last name? The Accursed One. Leno, I understand you used to work for God. Iblis. I used to work for God in the company of God and angels. And so Leno asks, what's your goal in life? What's your goal in life? Iblis. To annihilate and condemn every son and every daughter of Adam and Hawa, and I will never leave them until they reach hellfire. And I have lots of years of experience, thousands of years of experience, over a trillion people served to hellfire. Leno, you look totally energetic. You don't have your back on the wall or anything. You have a lot of energy. How old are you? I'm as old as humanity's father. In fact, I'm a little bit older than humanity's father. Leno, you seem almost invincible. Almost. I used to be like that when I was 16 years old. And there's laughter from the audience as Leno says this. He says, tell us, seriously, do you have any weaknesses? Iblis, tonight in this lecture, you will find out my weakness. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a little glimpse, and actually, subhanAllah, as I began preparing for this lecture, there's a lot to this. Much more than the timing that we have for this halaqa. Because subhanAllah, this is war, that we're against shaitan. And when you plan for war, you don't just sit in a 25, 30 minute halaqa. You sit day and night preparing and protecting yourself and protecting your family. And actually, the subtitle for this lecture was Shaitan's Dawah Techniques. And the subtitle is that you better know these techniques or you'll regret it. I almost feel sorry for the people that walked out of this lecture. They turned their backs just for that moment. They may have missed something. And Shaitan may be already distracting them. And we're going to be talking about those techniques, inshallah. So what I want to do from all of you is to pay attention to this lecture. Sit up straight, inshallah. Get ready to focus completely with determination. Like shaitan has massive determination. Have determination and commitment in what you are doing. Have determination and commitment that you will extract that information and that you will share it with other people. Bi-ithnillah. This is a war. And it's a war with an army. Allah Azza wa Jal has his army and Iblis has his army. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا هُمْ وَالْغَاوُونَ وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the junood of Iblis, which is the army of Iblis. Iblis is not alone. He has an army. This is a war where allegiance is pledged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ Allah عز وجل didn't say, fight shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَاتِلُوا the ones who pledge allegiance to shaitan. This is a war where military operations are sent out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna li Iblis kursiyan fawqa al-ma yab'athu saraya." That Iblis has a chair, a throne over the water, and he sends out his missions, military missions to misguide people. And so groups of devils go out to misguide the people. It's a war with a battlefield. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he spoke about the marketplace, he said, "The souq, فَإِنَّهَا مَعْرَكَةُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَبِهَا يُنْصَبُ رَايَتَهُ." He said, "For verily the marketplace is the battlefield of shaitan. And it's the place where the flag of the devil is put into the ground." Now, dear brothers and sisters, when we say marketplace, what do you think of when you say marketplace? You say, the mall. I know the mall because it's so haram when you go to the mall, right? But do you get marketing anywhere else? And you're thinking, let me think about that. Okay, the billboards. On the way here, you saw this big McDonald's sign. You saw a big Wendy's sign. You saw a big Kinko's sign. You kept seeing signs and signs and signs. It kept flashing in your minds. It was really high and you saw it. And then if you turn on the radio, some of the people that left the message, they turned on the radio. They're in ma'araka to shaitan. The marketing. And as they go home, the billboards and so on, then they turn on, they walk into their home, the battlefield of shaitan, they open the television set. That's exactly right. They open the TV and they'll say, "Oh, free TV, mashallah, it's so free. I love this, it's such a great TV program. Look, ET is coming on TV, it's free." What are they selling on TV? They're selling you. They're selling you to the advertisers. Is that a market or is it not a market? وَبِهَا يُنْصَبُ رَايَةً. And his flag is put down. And while some of you are here, your children are at home being murdered by shaitan. And it's almost like third degree, fifth degree murder. Because they are being killed from their heart. You may have come here, you may have said to your children, "Just watch TV, I'll come home later on." And you don't know that they're being eaten alive. And that's the battlefield that the Prophet ﷺ said. It's a war where enemies are under siege. They're under siege. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what shaitan said, فَبِمَا أَخْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shaitan said that by your izzah, by your honor, I will misguide them all. Every single one of them. Every one of you that's sitting here, shaitan's goal is to misguide you. And I will come to them from in front of them, from behind them, from their right and from their left. And you will find, shaitan said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will find that most of them are not thankful to you. And was shaitan right? He was. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّ. That Iblis had told the truth. It's a war with prisoners. Prisoners of war. إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ. What happens in Ramadan? فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ. The doors of paradise are open. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ. And the doors of hellfire are closed. And وَصُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The devils are chained down in this war against Iblis. And as you come to the end of the war, and let me take you to the end. Let's say the nuclear explosion has happened, the atomic bomb, the fire had burnt everyone alive. Everyone destroyed. And I'll just give you, just to make this clear to you, let's just imagine that someone came in here, some redneck or something like that, right? A redneck came, and he wanted to blow up the masjid. And let's just say that this masjid, everybody heard that this is about their deen, and they came to the masjid in full numbers. We had 1,000 people here for this halaqah. And mashallah, for those who are listening online, we have a lot here. Let's just imagine that it was 1,000 people. 1,000 people, and this guy comes in and blows up the whole masjid. I'm talking about body limbs flying, blood falling on the ground, and every single Muslim in that masjid is killed. 1,000 Muslims. Not talking about 30 killed or 50 killed. We're talking about 1,000 Muslims. The whole masjid collapsed. Everybody killed. Men, women, children. Everybody. I just want you to imagine that. Only one person survives. Just as you imagine here, you're sitting here. If someone came in and killed everybody here and one person survived, do you think you would be that one? That's what the statistics are against you. At the end of this war, 999 will be in hellfire. And only one will be saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your brothers and sisters, as you know, we're coming here to Dallas and encouraging people to start taking Islamic education seriously and taking it to a new level and being committed. When I hear excuses from people, I hate excuses. Because people who succeed in life do not make excuses. Someone who says, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I'm busy, whatnot. That person is not on a path to success. They're on a path that shaitan has kind of like played out for them. Successful people don't make excuses. Now, as I was preparing this lecture, I realized that man, is shaitan ever motivated? He's motivated like you've never seen someone motivated in their life. He's committed. Committed and determined. And I'll give you an example of his commitment. For his unbelievable determination. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he was cursed, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ I swear by your honor, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ that I'm going to misguide and destroy every single son and daughter of Ibn Adam. No one will be left behind except those who have ikhlas to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has unbelievable commitment. And the example of this, when Iblis comes out to the devils come to Iblis on the water and he's on the throne and they said, I did such and such. He said, you did nothing. And someone says, I did such and such. Iblis says nothing. Then one of the devils comes and he said, مَا تَرَكْتُهُ He said, I never left him. And you're seeing here determination. There's no excuses. If you make excuses for your deen, know that the Iblis and his junud will not make excuses. They will continue until, as this devil says, until I divided between him and his family, between him and his wife. And just for your information, look at the statistics of divorce in this country. Or anywhere in the world, even Muslim world. The devils are working full time. And it's reaching epidemic proportions of how hard they are working. When we were younger, there was this little story that we used to read when we were younger. It's called Little Red Riding Hood. You ever heard of that one? Little Red Riding Hood? You've heard of it? Do they have it in other languages? Anybody know it in a different language? Urdu, Bengali, Arabic? Nothing? Little Red Riding Hood? No? Little Red Riding Hood is this like little girl. She's going to her grandmother. And I guess the wolf ate the grandmother or something like that, right? And then he dresses up like the grandmother. And then the little girl comes into the home and she says, My grandma, what big eyes you have. She can see the signs, but she doesn't really know what's the meaning of it. And then the wolf says, the better to see you with. And she says, oh, so that's the reason. What big fingers you have, claws you have, the better to, you know, I don't know, turn the pages or something like that. And then he says, what big fangs you have, the better to eat you with. And then she jumps in and out, and then the kids get scared and things like that. That's a folk tale, and actually, just like the little kids, they know this. But this is exactly what's happening to them in life. Exactly. You will see the signs, and you really can't tell, is it shaitan or is it not shaitan? But indeed, it's Iblis trying to eat those people. Iblis has, I would imagine, if he wrote a business book, he would have like the 7 steps of total annihilation of human. 7 steps of total annihilation. Priorities. Level 1. And these are 7 steps. And I ask you to ask yourself, what level are you on with shaitan? Because every human being is on one of these levels. Of shaitan's plan to destroy human beings. And I'll say that again. Every human being is on one of these levels. Ask yourself, which level are you on this pyramid working upwards? Number 1, the highest level is shirk and kufr in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when that happens, when a person reaches the highest level of shirk and kufr, then at that stage, they actually become part of the army of Iblis. They become part of the army when they've reached, and I'm talking about people who have reached that kufr and shirk, they've turned their backs on the message, they've turned in arrogance, they reached that highest level of shirk and kufr. And many of the kids might know, and the youth, you'll know about vampires. What happens when the vampire bites you on the neck? You become a vampire. Or the werewolf bites the person, he becomes a werewolf. Iblis, when he takes the person to level one, that person becomes a devil. They become a devil, and they live their lives holding people away from the truth. Level two, and it's interesting, is that it's not actually sin, it's actually bid'ah. Bid'ah is level two. And bid'ah is actually, because this, what happens with bid'ah, is shaitan will trick a person to thinking that what they're doing is bringing them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's just one step from committing shirk. And the example of that is the people of Nuh alayhi salam. The people of Nuh alayhi salam, when they said, we'll just build these idols so that it will remind us of these good people, then they died, the next generation that said, we will worship them. So the bid'ah happened, and they thought they were doing good, so they didn't stop it. And so one of the keys actually to getting out of that level is to be truthful with Allah and His Messenger, and to follow the Qur'an and Sunnah, and never make excuses. Say, what does the Qur'an and Sunnah say? Level three is the major sins. The major sins such as murder, such as zina, and so on. And of the people that shaitan works on the hardest to commit the major sins are the scholars. If he can get a scholar, someone in the public eye, to commit a major sin, then many people will follow that sin after that. And I'll give you this example. Even though he's not a scholar, obviously he's probably from level one. He's been bitten by the vampire. But it's Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart was a priest, evangelical or something like that, and he was going around and he committed zina. He committed adultery, and in Islamic law he should be stoned to death. And then he went on TV and he said, oh God, I've sinned, and he started crying and so on, and then he did it again after that. I ask you, how many people of his followers committed zina on that same night? I'm sure if you had statistics, you would see hundreds, if not thousands of people who took that lesson and they said, if he can commit the major sin and he's the priest, he's our leader, then it's okay for us to commit it as well. And we'll go on TV and say, God has forgiven me. Level four are the minor sins. Now we start coming into, if you're Muslim and you've protected yourself from the major sins, now here's where shaitan is hitting you. You're at level four. And there's actually seven levels and you're at level four. If you're at this level, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. Level four is the minor sins. Level four is the minor sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith is narrated in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, it's a hadith hasan. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقَّرَاتِ الذُّنُوبِ. He said, beware of the sins that people belittle. Like, it's not a big deal. Beware of those sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for verily the example of people who do that is the example of these people who came upon a valley. And the nighttime came, and so they had to start a fire. So this guy went and tried, so this is in the desert. This guy tried and got a little piece of wood, and this guy got a little piece here, and this guy got a little piece here, and they kept putting into a pile, until they lit the fire, and this huge fire went up. And then they cooked their food. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the example of the person who commits the minor sins, is this example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then concluded that hadith. He says, "Mata ya'khudhu biha sahibuhu tuhliku." That whenever the worker of the minor sins just takes advantage of it and indulges himself or herself in the minor sins, it will destroy them. It will build up and it will burn them alive. Level five. Let's say someone doesn't even do the minor sins. They protect themselves. And by the way, backbiting and so on, those aren't minor sins. Those are major sins. That's level three. If there's backbiting or riba or something like that, mortgages, whatnot, that's level three. level 4, now we're at level 5, let's say someone's protecting themselves from all of that, shaitan busies the person in al-mubahat, are mubah, things that are permissible, but he swamps them in permissible things until it wastes their life away. And I'll give you an example of that. If I asked you, how many of you like football? This is interesting because for those who are listening in the UK, it's the same thing. They love football too. It's just a different sport. Right? Americans and British people. You can football. So this guy, he gets season tickets. He follows the sports. He reads the newspaper in the morning. Who won? After he's coming out of the masjid, he's looking on his cell phone to see what were the final scores. I just finished the Isha. And then in Ramadan time, in Taraweeh, in Laylatul Qadr, he's saying, Ya Rabbi, let the Dallas, what's your team called? Dallas what? Let the Dallas Cowboy win the Super Bowl. Ya Allah. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, let the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl. And he's making dua in Ramadan for this. And I know some of you are laughing, but this is a phenomenon that happens with many people. It's not even a joke. That this is what people spend their time. And so by the time this person ends their life, 20 years of their life they've spent sleeping, and probably 20 years of their life they spent indulging in al-mubahat. Indulging to the point where they've wasted their life and they've done nothing of benefit. And I'll give you this example. In Canada, in our community in Canada, the people like to play basketball. And I see you have basketball courts out here in the masjid. So everybody encouraged the youth, let us play basketball. Basketball is good because it will lead to Allah and His Messenger. And so everybody's, let's play basketball. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go memorize the Quran. I went to a Qur'an school, Dar al-Ulum school. I studied Qur'an, took me 2 years, and I finished it. You know when I came back, what do you think they were doing? What are they doing? They're playing basketball. And wallahi, they were like almost in university. They almost got accepted for the varsity team in university, but they didn't. And now they're married, they're older, and on Sundays at the masjid, they can play a pretty good game of hoops. But they know no Qur'an. They know zero. You ask them to lead the prayer, they don't know. Can you recite 5 surahs? No. Do you know Arabic? No. What have you done with your life? I play basketball. That's at level 5. Level 6. Focusing on less important things. And this is fadil and mafdul. You have very virtuous things and you have things that are less virtuous. I'll give you this example. This is like something that's so amazing that I always watch. And it always happens. It never fails to happen. You have Taraweeh. Okay? Taraweeh time. And just like I see many people are sitting on the wall. I'm not dissing you guys or anything like that. But in Taraweeh time, people go to the walls and sit with their backs. Am I correct? They go to the walls and sit on the back. What do they do on the wall when people come and sit on the wall? And they look at them in the back like, how could you not pray Taraweeh? You're in the masjid. You came here. You made wudu. You came into the masjid and you sat in the back. What are you doing? So the person, he doesn't want to be embarrassed, so he takes out the Qur'an, and he says, I'm following the imam. How many of you have seen that before? I'm following the imam in his recital. Since when did you start reading Qur'an and following the imam with his Qur'an? Only in Ramadan time. Because I want to sit on the back. That is the satanic technique. Is to take someone from something that's fadil to something that's mafdul. They could read Qur'an anytime they want, but it's a justification to not pray with the jama'ah. And to go one step down, and you know what happens to those guys? While they're following along, someone whispers and says, shouldn't the lecture finish like at 9:40 or something like that? And then that person says, I'm trying to follow the imam. I'm like, you want to go outside? I think there's donuts on the table out there. And he's like, donuts. He puts the mushaf on the shelf and he said, I'll just slip out for 2 minutes. And he's gone. He's outside playing basketball with his friends or so on and he's finished. That's level 6. And for those of you who are very focused on the halal meat issue, you are at level 6. Why? Because someone will do shirk, they will take riba, they will have a girlfriend, they will drink alcohol, but as long as he eats halal meat, it's all good. Al-fadil wal-mafdul. Level 7. Let's just say the person's protecting from all those levels. And there are people like that. Of those people who was protected, all levels, was Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ said that anytime you take a path, O Umar, the shaitan takes a different path. He's like, O Umar's coming, let me get out of the way. So what level is Umar radiallahu anhu at? He's at level 7. And that is that if shaitan cannot get to you, he will raise hell from his army of humans and devils to destroy you. Do you think he succeeded with Umar radiallahu anhu? Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi. Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, fire worshipper, Satan worshipper, hiding in the masjid, waiting till Umar radiallahu anhu prays Salat al-Fajr, comes walking out in front of him with a dagger and puts it into his stomach. Poisoned. Shaitan was at level 7 with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. If you can get to that level, you will be tested like you've never been tested before. And these are some of his techniques. Number one is the footsteps of shaitan. The footsteps of his shaitan, I gave you the example of the people of Nuh, that he didn't tell them, worship the idols. He said to them, why don't we take a Kodak moment of this? A Kodak moment. So that we will remember all the good times we had with those beautiful shiur. A digital camera, mashallah. Here's the camera photo. Let's put it up on the wall because the bigger pictures you can see better. And then they died. And then the kids came, they're like, why did our parents do this? They said, I guess they wanted to worship him, let's do what they did. And they started worshiping the idols. Those are three steps, the footsteps of shaitan. Number one is that he will make you think that it's a harmless action, but it's bid'ah. Or he'll make you think that it's a harmless sin. It's nothing. It's no big deal. There's a difference of opinion. Sheikh so-and-so said this and that. Right? So it's harmless. Step two is he will take all the people of knowledge away from you. So you're hoping that if you ever step out of line, there will be someone to tell you, no, you've gone too far. But shaitan's next step is to get rid of the people of knowledge. So now you have no people of knowledge around you. Ask yourself, when you have fatwa questions, do you have people to ask? I'm sure many of you will say, if not all of you, there is nobody within our vicinity to ask when we have questions. Step number three is that shaitan then switches it to kufr and shirk. Shaitan then flips it to the kufr and shirk. Other techniques, interesting, is outstanding debts. Credit card debts. Even regular halal debts even. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَغْفِرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلَّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. That even the shaheed, even if you go to the battlefield, and you're in a blessed jihad, and you are killed, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the dain, the debt that you had will not be forgiven. You have to pay back the dain. And I'll give you this example. Many of you might be shocked, but guess what? Student loans are riba. It's a shock, right? Student loans. I have $60,000 on a student loan. What if you died before you paid that off? That's a riba. It's not even a halal loan. It's a riba loan. You've paid interest. You're paying interest on it. You're going to war with Allah and His Messenger for that loan. And then you die. Do you think people are going to pay off the loan? No. The file gets closed. Do they forgive you? No way. They hope someone will pay for it, but they have no one to pay. So you go to the hereafter with a $20,000, $30,000 loan of riba. It's not even a halal loan. Halal loan, you wouldn't be forgiven for that. It's a riba loan. And as one of the companions said, that the person who comes on the Day of Judgment, let him take his weapons and be ready to fight because he's going to war with Allah and His Messenger. And I know I shocked you because I know that we're plagued with stuff like that. Riba loans, did shaitan implement his plan? Yes, he did. The other thing shaitan does is he plays mind games. That even there's a student, someone comes to the message, they start asking a series of questions that are innocent. Who created this masjid? Allah. Who created the heavens? Allah. Who created the sea? Allah. Who created this flower? Allah. And then shaitan said, who created Allah? And the person said, who did create Allah? And when they get to that level, shaitan is taking that on step by step. It's a mind game that shaitan plays, and he knows where he's going with that. And the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِذَا بَلَغَ, that when the person gets to that level of question, فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, he should say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلْيَنْتَهِ, and he should desist. from continuing in that. The technique of shaitan is that he will make haram look good. When I tell you something is haram, it won't even seem like it's haram. It will actually look nice. And so for example, let's say, okay, mashallah, there's a lot of sisters here. What if a mouse started running over, you know, the lap of all the sisters? Do you think they would be sitting quietly? They go, ah, they start screaming like crazy. And I can't even go to that pitch of scream, the kind of scream that they'll scream. They will scream, and you know it, because you know an ant falls from the ceiling and lands on the head of a sister. And in that instant, the sister would just explode like an ear-pierced bomb with her voice. But then, this is the same mother that takes her child to Disneyland. Oh look, there's a big fat mouse called Mickey Mouse. Let me take his hat and put it on my child. Oh, you look so cute looking like a rat. Right? Let me take a picture with you. And I'm sure even if those parents, you go home, see the photo album, their child is standing beside Mickey Mouse somewhere along the line. What happened there? What happened is that you just got a glimpse of how shaitan can flip things. And so, for example, something will be haram, but it will look good. It will look good, and the person, if you're only trying to use your intelligence, you will be misguided. You have to follow the Qur'an and Sunnah, and follow the guidance of the Qur'an and Sunnah. And so I'll give you an example of, you know, just what I said about riba loans. And I said student loans, even though a person said, I need an education, this is a great education, and so on and so forth, let me go to war with Allah and His Messenger. Education is important in Islam. And it sounds good, even student loan, I'm a student, everything is okay for a student, right? They can miss Jummah, they can take riba, they can do all of these things. But no, shaitan flips it, so the person, a new word is used, and they don't realize the haram that's happening. The technique of shaitan to take very small actions, but just make the person commit these sins. Very small actions. So shaitan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the Quran, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. This is the statement as recorded in the Quran of Shaytan. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I'm going to misguide them, I'm going to, you know, take them astray, and so that all of these things, building up, what are you going to do? I'm going to make them cut the earlobes of the animals. That's all you're going to do? And I will make them change the khalq of Allah. The creation of Allah, they will change it. And so what the Arabs used to do is, you know, they used to cut these animals, and they had like superstitions connected to snipping the ears of the animals. They had camels and so on, and so on. And I'll just give you this example of taghir khalqillah. تَغِيرْ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. And I know this is going to be a shocker. Maybe the sisters are here. I know it's going to be a shocker. And many of you might not have known this, and you're knowing it now. This is one of the techniques of the shaitan, is the plucking of the eyebrows. Plucking of the eyebrows for women. And what this is that a woman will take the excess hair that's above her eyebrow, and she will pluck it. And she will shape her eyebrows in a way that she thinks is beautiful. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the woman who does this is cursed. And the woman who does that to another woman, or anybody, man or woman, is also cursed. The person who does the plucking. And like I said, I know it's a shocker. Many people don't even know this. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّامِصَاتِ وَالْمُتَنَمِّصَاتِ. That the one who plucks and the one who does the plucking is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is shaitan's technique. It seems like a very small action, but there's a meaning behind it. And that is changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what shaitan said he would do. Iblis also, one of his techniques, is he attacks the meanings of the Qur'an. He can't touch the Qur'an. MashaAllah, we have Hufaz. The wording of the Qur'an cannot be changed. However, the meaning of the Qur'an can very easily be misunderstood by people, because they don't know the language, they haven't studied tafsir. And mashallah, this is actually tafsir juz amma. On your way out, make sure you pay attention to this. When a person doesn't know the meanings of the Qur'an, Then when someone says something to them, they don't know what the Quran says, or something is misconstrued, and then they just follow along like that. And so that's one of Shaitan's techniques. Of the techniques also, is that, interestingly, the truth will be looked at, ironically, as being devilish. And you see some of these books that are written against Bush and stuff like that, they'll say, sleeping with Satan. And they'll say, sleeping with the devil. Or whatnot. And when you go and give a lecture to people, today I'm going to talk about Islam. The word that's synonymous to them with Islam is Satan worship. That's what's synonymous with Islam to the non-Muslims. That word has been plugged into their hearts and into their minds, and it's Shaitan that does that. And I have the example of the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah alayhi salam, when she was with the king, and the king was going to commit zina with her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected her, and he became paralyzed again and again and again. And then he said, "Idhabu biha." He said, "Get her away from me." فَقَدْ آتَيْتُمُونِي بِشَيْطَانِ. He said, "Get her away from me before verily you have brought a devil to me." He's telling Sarah alayhi salam, the wife of Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam, that she's the devil. Who's the devil? He is. But this is how Shaitan works. Of the techniques of Shaitan is extravagance. Extravagance. Welcome to the United States. Welcome to the United States. And one of the, subhanAllah, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That the people who are wasteful, they are the brothers of this of Shaitan. The people are wasteful. And the Prophet ﷺ said that when a piece of rice falls to the ground, what should you do? Pick it up and eat it. Don't leave it for the shaitan. Don't leave it for the shaitan. And I was thinking about this, these restaurants all night, all you can eat buffet and things like that. When was the last time you ate one third, like the Prophet ﷺ said? You might not even remember a time like that. When was the last time you ate till you're full? Lunch and breakfast, and yesterday's dinner, lunch and breakfast, and the day before. We live our lives eating to our full. What does that do? It makes the person, it rusts their heart. It rusts their heart. They don't have the strength to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that food will then become fuel or the lack of fuel to push the person down. And that extravagance, that excessiveness, will do it. The voice of the devil. The voice of shaitan. What is the voice of shaitan? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, actually, of the weapon shaitan uses, the first of the weapons is his voice. With his voice he will misguide them. Now, I even see some of the brothers, they're saying with their tongues, music. Is music the voice of Shaitan? You bet your life it is. If that's not the voice of Shaitan, there's not too much other than that. Music is the voice of Shaitan. Now, this is a real experiment. They took violent music and violent words, and they just hammered it into people's minds like, murder, kill, blah, blah. And they just went boom, boom, boom. They just played this again and again and again to these students. And then they asked them after that, do you feel like committing an act of violence? And they said yes. That's scientifically proven. Now, music, and I'm going to be a little graphic here, but I want you to get the message. There are songs. And the background of the song, and it's not even the quiet background, it's right out there, right in front. As the person is singing these satanic lyrics, there's a woman making the sound of a woman in an orgasm. And that's part of the music. And that's not even the words of Shaitan. This is part of the song. And don't ever say that the scholars have a difference of opinion about something like that. Don't ever be confused or deceived. There is absolutely, positively, no difference of opinion on something like that. When the lyrics are haram, and you can bet 95%, or if not higher than that, of the music that's on the radio is haram messages. It is the voice of Shaitan that's coming through the ears and the mind. And not only that, but it's repeated again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And I can sit here for 25 hours and just keep saying again and again and again and again and again and again. And then you ask, why is my kid not listening to me? Why does the child not want to come to the masjid? Because he's being programmed. Not in his head, but in his heart. I need like 15 minutes, inshallah. I'll ask permission. Can I go for another 15 minutes? Does everybody agree? Raise your hand if you agree for another 15 minutes. Okay, jazakallah khairan. How many people want to break at 10 o'clock for salah and I don't talk anymore? Raise your hand. I'll respect that. You, one? Okay, anybody else? You're outnumbered, man. Power to the majority. We're in a democracy here. Jazakallah khairan. Okay, scientifically, my father actually, hafizahullah, in Egypt, he had a friend who worked in a post office. And back in the days, like in the 1970s. And this postman, he had these letters. He had to stamp the letter. So what he would do is he'd take a letter, he'd go boom, move it, boom, 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 boom. All day long, he's hitting the stamp. That's all his job is, just to stamp the letter. I think they have machines that do it, but back in the day, it was a real human being. And my father said that he was like his friend. When he would sleep, what do you think he would do? He would take his fist, put it on his head, and go boom, 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 like that. He would hit his head with his fist all night long. And now this is scientifically proven. If, for example, you do a new pattern, you do something new. Let's say, you know, you've never tried lassi, right? And you say, let me try it for my first time in my life. This is your first time where you're trying oysters, for those who don't know what lassi is. And when you taste it for the first time, something happens in your brain, a connection is made, and kind of like a pathway is carved out. And it's kind of a weak pathway. So if you like it, it's kind of weak. If you don't like it, it might still be weak, but it's still there. Next person, someone says to you, would you like lassi? And you say, oh, I tried it before, let me try it again. And then afterwards, you create a lassi habit. After food, and for those from Asia and so on, you know, we have to have lassi. It's like a yogurt drink, right? Have to have lassi. It has to have salt in it, not sugar like some people put. It has to have salt. Because their brain is hardwired. It's hardwired. There's a pathway carved into their mind that says they must have this. This is a proven fact. Anything you do, from the very beginning, you will start creating a pattern. And we know in the deen that a black dot is created unless the person does tawbah from that sin. Now I'll show you this. Shaitan doesn't waste time. He doesn't say, well, this guy's born, let me wait another 15, 20 years when then I'll start bothering him and trying to misguide him. Shaitan, from the day you were born, the war began. When your mother took you in the hospital room and your father held you, hugged you and so on, you were crying. And the Prophet ﷺ said that when Ibn Adam is born, Shaitan pinches him. And the baby screams. And so what's the first thing you do? You say the adhan in the ear of the child. You're protecting him right from the beginning. From the beginning. When you're born, you're protected. From the beginning of the day, what do you do? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. Ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. From the beginning of the day, you're here in the masjid praying fajr. From the beginning of your food, what do you say? Bismillah. What happens if you don't say Bismillah? From the very beginning, shaitan will eat with you. And if you remember at the end of your food, what do you say? Bismillah, awwaluhu wa akhiruh. That not even the beginning can be for shaitan. It all is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shaitan vomits whatever he has. From the beginning of the night, when Maghrib time comes, and it starts getting reddish and dark, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's the time when the devils go out. And so you should bring your children in. You know, after Maghrib, some of the kids will be running outside. If you're a parent, don't let them go outside. The Prophet ﷺ said, bring them in. Until it gets dark outside, then they can go. But when those ultraviolet rays and the reddish of the sky, the children from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ should not be let out. Because the beginning of the night has come, and that's when the devils come out. From the beginning of your recitation, what do you say? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You seek protection right from the beginning. Because Shaitan is not going to wait halfway through to come to try to misguide you. He will start from the beginning because the pattern starts from the beginning. And unless you change it, the pattern will get deeper and deeper and deeper until a person's heart becomes solidified. How to protect yourself from Shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. O you who believe. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, pay attention. Because you're a believer, and so you're listening. Allah is calling you, لا تتبعوا. Don't follow the footsteps of Shaytan. That this is Shaytan. This is what he does. Step one, step two, step three. And I'm giving you examples of his footsteps. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, don't follow the footsteps.
وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ.
That shaitan, whoever follows that, Allah says that he commands al-fahsha wal-munkar, the evil, the sin, the vice. That's what shaitan is guiding the person to. But now, Allah Azza, we said 999 will follow the footsteps. 999 will be destroyed. 999 will be in hellfire, damned in hellfire for all of eternity. Except one. Allah Azza just says,
وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if it wasn't for the fadl of Allah and His mercy, that none of you would have been purified. If it wasn't for Allah's fadl and mercy, none of you would be here. If it wasn't for the fadl and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not have had the messengers, we would not have had the angels protecting us, we would not have had all this ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would have been destroyed. And so the fadl and the rahmah of Allah azza wa jal, I'm going to give you techniques because Allah azza wa jal hasn't left you alone. You have to seek protection from Allah. Number one is the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sahih Tirmidhi, in Hadith Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu anhu, qal, and this was something that Yahya alayhi salam told to Bani Israel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam was teaching it. He said, that Yahya said, وَآمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. And I command you to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. فَإِنَّ مَثَلَ ذَٰلِكَ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ خَرَجَ الْعَدُوُ فِي أَثَرِ سُرَاعًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَى عَلَى حِصْنٍ حَصِينٍ فَأَحْرَزَ نَفْسَهُ مِنْهُمْ كَذَلِكَ الْعَبْدُ لَا يَحْرِزُ نَفْسَهُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That Yahya alayhi salam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, that the example, he said, I command you to do dhikr of Allah, for verily the example of the person who does this is the example of a man who was being hunted and chased by an enemy. So the enemy is chasing him, they're running after him, and so this person is running, 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 and there's no escape until he finds a fortified castle. And so he's racing, and he's about to be killed. He keeps running and running and running until he gets into the castle. The drawbridge is raised up, and he's protected. They can't touch him. He said that the slave of Allah, this is the similitude of the slave of Allah when he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he will be protected, or she will be protected from shaitan, from the devils, in the same way when they remember Allah Azza wa Jalla. And actually, I just want to tell you this personal story. I was walking. It was after Fajr, and I was around the lake, and I was exercising. And then I saw this pathway. I said, let me take this pathway. And subhanAllah, it was like, it wasn't Sirat al-Mustaqim. It was like off the pathway. So I went off the pathway, and all of a sudden, I felt the swarm of bugs around my head. Insects. And so I just started hitting one, I kept going, and then I realized that it wasn't just one or two bugs, it was a whole like hive of bugs. And so I started walking out, but I realized that they were chasing me out. And as I went further, this swarm, it kept going with me at the exact same speed. I don't know if you've ever been in a beehive or something like that. Some of you may have had that experience. But subhanAllah, this is my first time. This actually only happened a few weeks ago. And I couldn't get them away from me. And I kept running and running, and I couldn't run any further, and I couldn't go anywhere. And I was scared, and they were just swarming around my head. And there was a lake, kind of like a mini lake. And it's kind of like dirty and stuff like that. Wallahi, I was going to jump in the lake to protect myself. And at that moment, right, and then I just said, look,
And I became determined and so on. I said, I'm going to kill each one of you. And then I stepped back and I just went like that. And I started hitting all of them until I killed all of them. But that just gives you an example. When you get a swarm of devils around you, how do you seek protection? What's the lake to jump into to protect yourself? You say and you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go into the airport or you go into the mall and you just say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And you can't like see something haram and keep looking and say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. You can't. You have to lower your gaze and you have to stay away from the haram. Number two, how to protect yourself from the shaitan is iqamatus salah. The people who come here regularly for the masjid are protected more from the shaitan than the people who don't come to the masjid, even if they're Muslim. Even if they're Muslim, the people who don't come regularly to the masjid have more devils around them. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأِسَ أَنْ يَعْبُدُهُ الْمُصَلُّونَ. He said that verily the devil, shaitan, iblis, has lost hope in the musallun, al-musallun, from worshipping him. He's lost hope. So if you want shaitan to lose hope in you, what do? Come to the masjid more regularly. Come for Fajr, come for Dhuhr, come for Asr, come for Maghrib, come for Isha. You'll be protected, inshallah. But shaitan doesn't end. He's still determined. Remember we said, he doesn't stop. So what does shaitan do? He tries to make fights between the people. It's called masjid politics. And that's shaitan's weapon. At-tahrish bainahum. Because actually, just, you know, subhanAllah, some people when they come to the masjid, you know what they say? They say, I don't like coming to the masjid because everybody's always backbiting. And they're slandering, they say bad words. SubhanAllah, I go with the kuffar, they never talk like that. And this is true, this is shaitan's trick. And if you come regularly to the masjid, I'm telling you, beware. Because you know how shaitan's going to hit you? He's going to make you slander other Muslims. He's going to make you slander other Muslims. That's shaitan's technique for people who are regular in the masjid. The change of psychological state. I'm almost coming to the conclusion here for those who are getting their hearts pumping faster. We need to go for Isha, inshallah. Changing your physiological state. That means that if, for example, you're in one state and shaitan has a grasp on you, you pull your head back, you get your back off the wall, and you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You turn to your left and you go, you spit three times. And you say, A'udhu billahi min shaytan ar-rajim. And your mind changes. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you come for salah, some of you, this will happen. The devil will come and he'll start saying, you know, I think you have to buy groceries after. Even, subhanAllah, as we're in the lecture, you're already getting this, I wish you would stop talking, and things like that. Shaitan's like, who does he think he is talking after 10 o'clock? We changed the salah to 10 o'clock, and things like that, right? And so, when that happens, you turn to your left side, and you go, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. And if you're angry, you sit down. If you're standing up, you sit down. If you're sitting down and you're getting angry, masjid fight or something like that, lie down on the side. Keep changing your position. And this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And as some of the scholars said, you should make wudu as well. And of the greatest, actually there's two last things that protects a person. Number one is istighfar. Is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And lastly is to say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Istighfar, asking Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. Because Iblis said to Allah, this is a sahih hadith, that he said, O Allah, I will misguide all of them, and I will not leave them until they're in hellfire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I swear by my honor that I will continue to forgive them so long as they istighfiruni, so long as they ask for forgiveness. And so that path of istighfar will protect you from Iblis. And then finally, in conclusion, you must say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Because shaitan, you don't curse him out, he doesn't get weaker. He gets stronger. What you have to do is to say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. That if you recite the Qur'an, which is such a beautiful action, then ask Allah for protection from ash-shaytan ar-rajim. And so actually, in preparing this lecture, And some of you who are here for the entire lecture, you've heard some of the techniques of shaitan. You've seen that some of the techniques might be right here in the masjid. Some of them might be right outside waiting for us. They're all around us, these techniques. And 999 out of 1,000 will go to hellfire for it. This is the war that we're in. And as I prepared this lecture, I started seeing it more and more. And I said, oh my God, all these satanic techniques that are around us. And I started saying, actually, I benefited. This is why I give this lecture, so I can benefit from it. I started saying, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem more often. So try this out. As soon as you wake up in the morning, and you're going for the snooze, i.e. shaitan button, before Fajr, I'll only sleep for another 5 minutes. Of course I will get up after 5 minutes, right? You say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Just say it as loud as you can. Jump out of the bed and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Do you think you'll come for Fajr? For sure you will. Because you sought protection in Allah from a shaitan rajim. And then you go to the mall, or you go in the street, and something haram comes by, you're about to look, and you're like, yeah, my wife's giving me trouble and stuff like that. This lady looks like she's very beautiful. Maybe one day if I marry second wife or something like that. You say instead, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And as the haram, even if you have music in your car and you hit dial 1, it's like 95.so-and-so FM or whatever. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And turn it to one of the empty channels and rechange all of your radio stations. And if it's that big a fitna, take it by its head and throw it out of the car. And when you go home, and you feel like watching a little TV, instead of turning on the TV set, you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And you will find yourself with the energy to take your TV set and throw it off your balcony and smash it. Take it out of your life. And you'll keep doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you protection. And even when you want to eat extra food or something like that, Allah Azza will give you protection like you've never seen before. It comes from saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Okay, just review so we don't forget all of these things. We began this lecture by speaking about Darun Nadwa, how Iblis encouraged them, and from the very beginning we see of creation. We spoke of the hadith analogy between the wolf and the sheep, and how the Prophet ﷺ showed us that, or taught us that there will come a day when the ra'i, the shepherd, will actually be the wolf. We spoke about Jay Leno's interview with Iblis. And we got a little glimpse of who he was. We witnessed how shaitan wages war. And we said about his junood, the pledge of allegiance of shaitan. We talked about the battlefield being the marketplace. And we specifically said that the TV and all its marketing is the battlefield of shaitan. I gave you an example or a list of 7 priorities of Iblis to misguide people. And I encouraged you to ask yourself, which level are you on these 7 levels, because you will be on one of the levels. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you, inshallah ta'ala, to get to level 7 and to give you tawfiq at that level. We also heard that the voice of Iblis is music. And Iblis uses his voice to misguide people. And we said when there are haram lyrics, and we gave examples, very graphic examples, of what is in that music, there is no difference of opinion. It is absolutely, positively haram when it's that, when that's the case. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us fadl and rahmah, and if it wasn't for that, we would all been misguided. Allah azza wa jal, of the things that we are protected with, is dhikr of Allah azza wa jal. He says, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar. Salah, being from al-musalloon, being from those consistent in their salah and praying in the masjid. And we saw istighfar, and if there was only one thing, only one thing. If you forget absolutely everything that I said in this lecture, and you only remembered one thing, this is the one thing. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? If you remember only one thing, that is to make it more frequent in your life to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. That any time you feel yourself about to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. If you only remember that, inshallah, it will protect you. I'd like to thank the people of the masjid here, inshallah ta'ala. Tomorrow we're going to have a program. The Al-Maghrib Institute is having a promotional program so you can see the kind of Islamic classes that we're going to be bringing to Dallas, inshallah. And I thank the masjid here in Plano for allowing us to speak and giving me an extra 10 minutes. Jazakallah khairan. Or was it more than that? I also wanted to thank those people. people who helped and assisted me, of the students in preparing this lecture, and the brothers and sisters from around the world, bi-idhnillah. And above all, from the beginning to the end, awwalu wa akhiru, all thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.